Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to bring this Finance Committee meeting to order. It is 6:48 PM. In attendance today are myself, Mr. Frye is the chair, Mrs. Hustle, Mr. Han, and Mr. Richardson. Also in attendance from council are Mr. Hanson and Mr. McCann. And we're here this afternoon to discuss a couple of things. The first one is the potential for income tax collection service contract with the Ohio Attorney General. Mr. Schreuer is here to discuss that with us, and I know that he sent some information out. We'd seen some information in the past, but he resent that information to us today, so we could take a look at it. So, Mr. Schreuer, if you could kind of walk us through that. I obviously have a few questions. I'm sure other members do as well. That would be great.
Yeah, this is a program that the Attorney General Office put in place about 15 years ago. Some of the local communities are using it, some are not. But it's to help the local communities collect delinquent income taxes. And where it really is going to affect us is the state has the right, excuse me, to offset state income tax returns and also federal income tax returns for us to get our money back for local income tax. So that's the power that they have that we don't have currently. We do our internal processes and then we turn it over to a collection agency. And that's not very successful for us. I think we'd have a lot better shot with that, a little bit more teeth with our state and federal income tax ability to get it that way. We currently, as the reports I sent you, the top 50 delinquent taxpayers is just over $400,000 of a total of 1.2 million. The state attorney's office, they have certain rules. They won't go after anybody that owes less than $100. They won't go after a juvenile. They won't go after someone that's filed bankruptcy, someone who's incarcerated. So there are limits to what they would do. But other than that, they leave it up to the city. Whatever we turn over to them, that's what they'll go after. It's completely up to us what we turn over to them. I know I sent gobs and gobs of information out. I guess I'm here to try to answer any questions you might have.
Toby, it just came to me with one memo you sent out, I think I thought it was yesterday or today, that generally there's 3 years the statute of limitations on tax collections. You mentioned you believe it's 3 years based on what you've heard.
Right.
Learned.
Unless they have a judgment against them, which most of these people do have a judgment against them.
Oh, okay. So when you reference
most of the big 50 or?
Yeah. Most of the people that we turn over to the collection agency, that's one of the things that they do. They go for a judgment. Mm-hmm. I believe, Leslie, you might know that's a more of a court thing or not?
Yes, that is the court. And the statute is 3 years.
It's still a good number.
Yes.
Okay.
So when you say that the state can offset state and federal income tax rebate, it's rebates, right? They fill out their tax returns, they're getting money back from the state or the feds, and the Attorney General can grab that money.
Correct. Now they can grab the state money for more than just municipalities. But for the federal money, they only have authority to get it for municipalities, but that applies to us, so it works for us.
Okay, when you garnish wages, there are limits on how much you can do. They can take it all?
I do not know that answer.
So, Mr. Schreuer, you sent out a slide deck from the Attorney General. And I kind of had a question about that.
Sure.
On one of the slides, they talk about the maximum time they can collect the debt is 10 years and then they write it off. So I noticed that in some of the stuff that is delinquent goes back to the 1980s. I didn't look that closely as to how much the money was, but I'm not even sure if that's a collectible number. So is that something that if we sent that to them, assuming that was one of those people that were, you know, that we want to send, they would not try to collect that, or they would try to collect that?
I think they might have to contact them. I don't know if it's 10 years once they get it or 10 years from the...
That's why I'm asking the question, because I'm not sure that, that wasn't clear to me when I was looking at that. The other question...
We can check with the state on that one.
Okay, the other question I had in regards to that as a follow-up, and I think maybe it's been answered, where are we legal, if we've got people that are not, that have not paid an income tax, and I don't remember that was a significant sum of money, from the 1980s, where are we legally allowed to say, hey, forget it? I mean, do we have that ability to just write it off? I mean, as a business owner, sometimes when I say somebody owes me money, I can say, okay, 5 years later, I'm not getting that money, I'm just going to write it off. Do we as the city have that ability?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure of that.
Yeah. I mean, we determine who we go after.
Going after and writing it off are two different things.
Right. I guess I don't necessarily understand the question about writing it off. I mean, do you mean just...
You write it off, you get a deduction.
Right.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the reason I'm asking is that's the term that was used by this slide deck. It says that the account is written off on our system after 10 years, right. So...
I think that's an AG-specific thing, that 10 years after the certification.
Okay.
It doesn't have to do with 10 years after the debt was incurred.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I think there's the opportunity, if we don't get anything in 10 years, it's probably just kind of like they don't want to have 30 years of accounts that they're collecting for the 400 political subdivisions that they're trying to collect from. So they just probably say, look, we'll try it for 10 years. If we don't get any money for you in 10 years, then we're going to write it off of our system.
Sure.
But we could still, if we still have the judgment, the city could still then take that back over and try to pursue collection.
Okay. So just as a clarification for the record, Mr. Schroeder, so the state won't try to collect any... Is it dollar figure that we say we're owed that's less than $100? Or is that tax that's owed?
It's specified just $100. It doesn't say what.
So there could be interest on it, whatever. It could be $48 in taxes. There could be X amount of interest, X amount. Okay. So it's $100. But we have the authority as the city to refer, to draw that line in a different spot as long as it's north of $100.
We currently do our process for people that owe less than $100.
And how successful are we in that process?
We don't collect a lot with the collection agency, so we're not that successful.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm asking the question, because if you do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The interest that is, we choose how the interest is waived. Is that my understanding as part of this proposed agreement? Is that correct?
Yeah.
And what are we proposing in that regard?
We're proposing it to our current processes where the interest is going to be on there if we turn it over to the state.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking?
Well, as I understand it, if we turn over somebody that owes us $1,000, at that point, and maybe I'm not understanding the contract, there's something called the Attorney General interest, or AGI, that starts to accrue?
It would be our intent to give the AGI the right to charge interest from the point that they get it.
Right, but that doesn't come to us, that comes to them.
Correct.
That's
it
part of
the amount of the dollar amount that we're owed. Though.
Right. So if we say this person owes us $1,000, but from that point forward, we're not accruing additional interest when we hand it to them. Correct.
Right.
They start to accrue that interest.
If we allow them to, we have a choice.
If we agree to allow them to, and if we don't, then what happens?
I would imagine we would just keep accruing interest on that.
Okay. So.
How does the AG get paid on this?
How do they get paid?
Yeah.
They get a percentage. If they collect it in-house, they get 10%. If they turn it over to a third-party vendor collection agency, they get 21%. If they turn it over to special counsel, they get 25%. And that's in addition to what they owe us.
Do special counsel and the collection agency get a chunk as well?
From the state, you mean?
No, from us.
No.
So we're capped at, what, 25%?
No, it's an auction, Doug. So you buy something for $100, you write a check for something for $125.
This is additional to the taxpayer.
Yeah, okay.
And how does that compare to our current process with the collection agency?
The 10% is lower than the current one, yeah. The other two are similar.
And that's additive as well?
The 10%, correct.
I do think there was generally some discussion around support for moving forward with the collection. I think some of the questions that had surfaced were kind of answered in here in terms of what the AG is suggesting, that not less than 100, not juveniles, not incarcerated. I don't know what the whole list was. I think, Doug, you had some specific thoughts to that as well. But I think that it is something that we all should be committed to collecting the taxes from our community citizens that owe money. It doesn't seem like some people should have to pay and others shouldn't. So I think we want to have that discussion and then decide what, if anything, are the stipulations. And I see we've got a piece of legislation, which I'm not sure has any stipulations or limitations in it at all. So I'm not sure this is ready to move forward, but I
think. So, Mrs. Westfall, other than the limitations that the Attorney General sets in the contract, what are your thoughts?
I would be comfortable with what they said, with what they had in the PowerPoint, what you read off, Toby, and I closed that out, I'm sorry to say, so I can't quickly pull it up here.
Mr. Hamm, Mr. Richardson, what are your thoughts? Are you okay with those numbers? Do you want to increase them? You know, we can't decrease them, but.
I think it's a good place to start. I do. I agree. Everybody should pay what they're owed. It's not fair. People that do pay the taxes, and yeah, it's just good.
I do think that the exceptions, I just open it back up again. Toby had mentioned this. Debt that is not final or under appeal, debt that is under $100, debt owed by an incarcerated debtor, debt owed by a juvenile, debt involved in bankruptcy, foreclosure, insolvency, rent, utility, and code enforcement. Those are the exceptions to collection based on the PowerPoint.
Right. Here. Mr. Hayden, your thoughts?
I mean, people live for those income tax returns. Those income tax rebates. And the people that, the only people who get hurt by that won't be the 50. Okay? It'll be the mom who's getting $1,500 back, whose husband didn't pay the taxes because he wasn't paying child support either. Hate to sound like a raging liberal, but. But I think at the lower levels that we're talking about here, this has a potential to be a lot more devastating than I think we realize. I know Sylvania has a reputation of being a very affluent area. It ain't. There are a lot. We have a lot of lower income folks that are struggling to get by, and the fact that they haven't paid taxes isn't always their fault. So I am a little uncomfortable with that $100 limit. You know, I'm all for going after the top 50. Okay, have at it. I'd go after them all day, and I'd garnish everything they got. I mean, I'd lean everything. I've had some experienced people back there, had their income tax refund yanked by over debt. And it's, so I don't know. I'll admit to being uncomfortable. I don't know what level I'd feel more comfortable at. Well, I would feel better if they only took half in any one year. You know, grabbing the whole thing at one time. I mean, you can't garnish 100% of somebody's wages. You're capped on garnishments. There's a reason for that. It's to prevent that devastating, take everything, even though they owe the money. I don't doubt they own the money, and I want to collect it. I just wonder if there isn't an easier, a less, I don't know, if there isn't a way that we can still get the money from these top 50 that I want, that I definitely want to go after. And if they're getting them, they know what they're doing. It's the, but a lot of people, I suspect, how many people do we have who owe us money?
13. Oh, that list was huge. Yeah.
1,318, according to the list.
1,300. Okay, well, that's not that many, to tell you the truth.
And that's some of those are multiple years. There's like seven, in some cases, 7, 8 years. In some cases, it's only one.
Yeah.
So I ran the math on the spreadsheet Mr. Schreier sent. If you say anybody above $100, Mr. Hanum, that falls to 753. If you increase that number further, and I didn't do the math of 500 or 1,000, but I'm thinking those are two natural next stop points of saying, okay, I think we have the ability to do that. So if we say, hey, well, let's not turn anything over more than, unless it's more than $500, we can do that, right?
Yeah, the problem you're going to run into is somebody who currently owes $400 and you're not going after 2 years from now.
They go over.
It's going to be way over and they're going to have to pay more then. So you're really hurting them.
I understand. When they...
You also gave them 2 years to get right with it.
True.
And we send these... How often do we notify these people that they're delinquent? Just once or twice or...
They first get notices for like 3 or 4 times a month. The first 3 or 4 months, they get a notice each month.
Uh-huh.
But once we turn it over to the collection agency, then we are out of it. A collection attorney, I should say. And then I'm not exactly sure how often he's contacting them after that.
They get at least, you know, the 30-day demand letter. They get at least a few from an attorney's office. And then they get a copy of the complaint that was filed and then the judgment. So I would say easily at least 10 notices between the city and the attorney.
Like you, Mr. Hanum, I'm sensitive to the people in our community who are struggling to make ends meet.
I didn't mean to suggest anybody wasn't.
I know that. I'm just thinking, maybe the number needs to be somewhat higher, recognizing that the circumstances. And I don't know what that magic number is. One of the things is that, to your point, Mr. Schreier, the vast majority of the potential recovery of funds is in the top few percentile, right? So, is this something that we say, okay, we're gonna draw this line and say, okay, let's submit everything $1,000 and north, just using that as a hypothetical number, and we see what those results are, and then we can modify it and say, okay, let's go down to 500 and see.
Yes, we can.
Or maybe we can just let it sit at 1,000. We could do that, correct?
Correct, yes.
Because as long as it's above 100, we can submit whatever we want to.
And we can control that.
Correct. We control what we send the state.
Okay, what do you all think about that?
$1,000?
I'm open to it. And I think especially with the consideration that we could reevaluate that. The one thing that does concern me is, do we set someone up for failure? Is there a message to let them know, you know, we're not going after you, but at this point we will, so that they don't end up with twice as much money.
I would assume that we would still continue our own processes, so we would still be part of that.
I would actually request will be in addition, share with them the policy of when it goes to collection, so that they know once they get over this threshold.
The state's gonna get it.
The state's gonna get there. I mean, that might be.
Presuming we move forward, I'd also like to have some feedback from the tax commissioner on, okay, here's what we've done in the past in collections by doing this contract. Here's what we've actually secured.
Yeah.
And, I mean, over a year or two, recognizing that this is, in my mind, we didn't get here overnight. We're not gonna get, you know, out of this overnight either. It's gonna be a marathon kind of thing. So, but that would be helpful to say, hey, this is being effective because we need to be, to your point, Mr. Richardson, and, you know, the other people are paying their taxes on time, but we want to keep things in balance, to Mr. Haynes' point. So is $1,000, you know, is the line where we start out with and see what happens? Mr. Hanum, is that?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable accommodation for what's a difficult situation. It's just life. You know, you gotta pay your taxes. I agree with that.
Okay. So.
Lord knows I pay enough.
We're not worried about you for some reason. Is there, certainly we have to pass whatever our request for legislation will be. But is there any way to, I lost my train of thought, because aren't you love that?
I don't think that $1,000 number needs to be in the legislation. I'm perfectly comfortable leaving it to our policy. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Thank you.
Makes it easier to change, and I have enough confidence that you guys will tell us if you want to change.
Right. And the same
way with you guys. Well, I don't know about the next.
Yeah, none of that needs to be in the legislation.
I want to confirm it. It's $1,000 with the fees and interest included.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're comfortable with that number.
Mm-hmm. So, from a legislative standpoint, I think we could potentially consider this this evening if we want to, based on this or not.
I wasn't prepared to, or it wasn't necessary for us, but I know that's up to you.
Yeah, if we could just do the recommend the approval of it, and I'll bring it, the order of legislation, I'll bring it to the next meeting, because this one is from 2019, and I have to include the finance committee meetings and some of the discussion.
So, well, okay. Whereas need to be added. So,
yes, I need to make it long.
No, that's fair enough. I'd entertain a motion to ask the administration to advance legislation for the next council meeting on a delinquent debt collection agreement between the city of Sylvania and the attorney general.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. Second thing that I would like to discuss. I need to write that down, otherwise I'm going to forget. I apologize. We had a document from, I think it was late last year, that Mrs. Brining brought forward to council discussing, as I understand it, as it sits in the codified ordinances today, if you are an apartment, if you own an apartment building and you rent an apartment to somebody, you have an obligation to provide us, you know, John Smith and is now renting in my apartment, correct? And if they don't submit that, they basically violated, I don't remember, was it fourth degree misdemeanor?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Criminal violation.
Yeah. So it's a criminal violation, and so you... Mrs. Brining brought forward a piece of legislation to make commercial property renters and put them in the same situation as residentials. Mr. Hanum, as I recall, you had some concerns about not just the commercial people, but the residential people, and, you know, people not understanding that this was actually a requirement. So, you know, it's like driving down the road without a posted speed limit and you get picked up for speeding kind of thing. So at that time, I think Mrs. Brining went and did some research, brought back some other communities in our area. One of them, I believe, was what was the city? City of Dublin. that does this at an administrative level, a civil level, correct? You may recall that I asked, I think I sent it to everybody, but I'm not sure, maybe I didn't. I asked Mrs. Briney what Dublin's experience has been with collections in that regard, because if there's no difference between collections on the one and collections on the other way, you know, can we do it, you know, civilly rather than with a criminal penalty? And what was the result from that, Mrs. Briney?
Their tax commissioner has been the tax commissioner there in Dublin for 4 years. They also only require annual reporting. That was another question that Mr. Hanum had, the monthly versus quarterly or some other timeliness. She actually gets compliance without having to enforce the section. She does have to occasionally point to it, that it is in their code. Which is, I think, essentially what our tax commissioner was looking to have that in the code for. So kind of the same experience. They've never fined anybody. They've never had to enforce that section, but it's in their code.
We're fine with it being a civil offense.
Are you fine with it being a semi-annual or annual reporting as well?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm good with that.
Which one?
Both. A civil offense.
Yes.
And
annual or semi-annual?
What do you?
I mean, we would prefer semi-annual, but annual is better.
I can do it. You know, twice a year doesn't seem like that big a deal. Yeah. I can go with that.
Yeah.
What's Dublin do?
The Dublin does annual, and then their penalty, it's $5 a month per tenant, up to $1,000 maximum fine.
Okay.
So I don't know.
So I guess the issue is semi-annual because you just want to, you're worried about people moving out, moving in. Okay. How many non-filers do we have? We have a lot.
We do not. This is just like Leslie was saying. It was just we needed something for that filer that was gonna, you know, decline to do it. We needed to be able to say that.
Okay. At a commercial, level, I'm sure annual would be fine.
Yeah.
But when you start talking residential properties, semi-annual might be helpful.
And
okay.
They can be different.
And it actually for the residential, this is an improvement because they've been doing it a lot more often than twice a year.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Westphal, Mr. Richardson, any comments, concerns?
That sounds great.
Yep.
Okay. So
I'm getting to be an old softy, I guess.
Mr. Hanum, I'm not sure I characterize you as an old softy. So your reputation in that regard is safe.
That's true.
Could I have a motion to ask the administration to modify their proposal for the ordinance number 101, 2022, and prepare legislation regarding making this a civil penalty for renter, home rental, and commercial rentals?
I'd move that.
Mr. Hanum, Mrs. Westphal, motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Last thing, and this won't take, I don't think this is going to take very long, because this isn't really a discussion, it's more of a request. You'll all seen some of the stuff that's been going on in the banking world over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And you'll note that I sent some questions to Mr. Schroyer and got information back, which is great. Thank you very much. But a couple of things came about from that in my thought process, and I want the feedback from the committee and other members of council. First, I don't know that I, in my time on council, have ever had an actual tutorial on how we're doing things in regards to those investments. And I think it would be helpful for all members of council and for the community on that regard to prepare and say, okay, this is how we're taking care of the taxpayers' money to make sure we're getting the returns and making sure that we, because there's lots of state code attached to what we can and what we can't do, obviously, as we all know. So I think it would be helpful to arrange for another finance committee meeting out not too far in the future for that. And Mr. Shore, you also sent us a copy of the investment policy. There were some things in there that looked like we may have the opportunity to make some modifications and cleanup. And I think that would be helpful, but I'd like to give the administration time to review the policy and come back to us with recommendations.
For the record, Mark, it is a policy that we've been following internally, but we weren't able to find anywhere that passed through council.
Okay.
It looked like it was maybe talked about in a committee and it had a number and stuff, but it wasn't passed.
Even more important.
Yeah.
That be, so that we go through that process and we make sure that.
Yeah, and we're talking, that was what, in the 90s or 2001, so.
Right, it was, in my mind, that's the reason to have a broader conversation of, okay, how do we want to go? This is where we've been, you know, how do we go forward and make sure that we're following, obviously, I know we're following state law now, I'm not worried about that, but how do we want to proceed in regards to that going forward? And I just think that may take a little bit of time to, I know there's lots of good stuff in the investment policy, I'm sure you'll follow lots of it, but there might be some other things you want to say, hey, we want to do this and not that.
Would you like, we have three main invested companies that we invest in to, you know, significant dollar amounts. Would you like those three individuals to come in so you guys could even meet them and see what they're thinking and everything also?
I see heads nodding around the council,
you know,
chambers.
So. Two of them are, so I mean, UBS is located in the city, SJS is located in the city, and then Fifth Third Bank. I mean, we have a branch, but the investment part's not in the city, but that would be, it's not Fifth Third Bank, but Fifth Third Investment. That would be the three investment brokers that would be coming in to talk to you if you wanted them to.
In reality, that might be multiple meetings. I mean, so we bring the three investment arms in, we have them give us information on, okay, here's what we're doing with the city, here's how much money we have, here's the returns that we've gotten and so forth. And then that gives the administration time to kind of review how it wants to proceed with an investment policy going forward and then bring that back to council. Does that seem like a reasonable approach to council?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
You want me to, would this be in the finance committee meeting that they would come to?
Yeah, I think it would be better to be in a finance committee meeting. And I recognize that's going to take a while, but we got to give them a time. Having dealt with financial people, as I'm sure all of us have at some level or another, if you tell them 10 minutes, it'll be 15. If you tell them 30, it'll be 50. So it's the date, because they live this world, and I'm the same way in my world. So
you want them to come at the same meeting or to talk separately or different times, or you want them to be right here?
Council members' thought process in that regard.
I think this is a circumstance where it may not be fair to them to be exposing their information to one another, but certainly it becomes part of public record. So I think this is a sensitive conversation.
So are we asking them to give us the secret sauce? Is that what we're concerned about?
I think maybe schedule one finance committee.
It's really
scheduled like 10 minutes for each of them to talk. Let's say,
yeah.
It doesn't bother me if they run in each other. We're up coming and going, but
yeah.
And it's an open meeting, so they could come. But
well, I think it's helpful. I think to ask them respectfully to say, hey, you know, you don't want them sitting in on yours. You know, make sure you don't sit down in theirs either. And these people are all professionals, obviously. I think they'll get that.
Yeah.
So, but I'd like to do it in one meeting.
Yeah.
And all three come in. Because otherwise, one's going to do something and I'll remember some of it and not all of it. And the next one will come in and be a lot of repetition. So, what kind of a time frame do you think, Mr. Schroer, are we talking about? Maybe the first meeting in May? Does that give up enough time?
They could, yeah, they're pretty much up to when we would want them. I mean, this is, and they would have that information, right? They could present.
Well, I understand, but I just want to be sensitive to their schedules as well. Or do you want to do it, can you do it in the next meeting in April?
The amount of money that we have with each of them.
They'll come when we tell them to come? Fair enough. I'm okay with that. Then why don't we try to schedule that?
You want me to tell them 10 minutes or that, or?
20.
20?
No.
Well, we tell.
15, maybe 10 and then 5 for questions.
But as Mark said, we're going to go 10 to 15, 15 to 20.
Well, if we say 10 to 15 and then we leave 5 minutes for questions, because I guarantee I'll have 5 minutes of questions by myself. I'm sure you're all shocked by that. So, but I think that would give them a few extra minutes. And if it, like this evening, I didn't know how this was going to, I was afraid we were going to run long, but it doesn't look like that's the case. I think that would be, that would give us a, if it takes an extra 10 minutes for the meeting, then it takes an extra 10 minutes. But we could start it at, say, 6:30 and, you know, and give them, and that gives us an hour. And if it ends a bit early, then it ends a bit early. That gives us plenty of time. Make sense? I can't set the meeting during this meeting, obviously, but I think we'll work on that when we get to the finance committee report. We have it here in a few minutes, so.
Oh, maybe, are you thinking the first meeting in May?
We can do the first meeting in May, fine by me. Unless other members of council are, does that not work for other members?
I think we've got it in the council meeting.
Yeah, but I just want to, I'm just taking temperature right now.
First meeting in May is.
I'm not going to be at that meeting.
Shoot.
Yeah, sorry.
Any chance we can do it in April?
The second meeting in April?
I'm not going to get that.
Okay, that ain't going to work out.
Sorry, I'm out the next.
Are you reassigning the committee?
Now, that being said, I can catch up on the information later in an email question.
Well.
You know, if it's recorded as a normal meeting, then I can certainly catch up on the information and follow up the questions.
Are you comfortable? I mean, because I don't want to exclude you, Mr. Richardson. I appreciate your feedback and input.
I would be very comfortable with that. If it was convenient for the group, I'd be happy to listen and watch and email questions.
Okay.
So we'll shoot for the, we'll shoot, well, I don't want to let this linger. If we can get them here for the first meeting in April, let's set it up. And if they can't make it.
First meeting in May?
First meeting in May, correct. I don't want to let this linger. And if they can't make that, then we can circle back around and reschedule.
That's a month away. They should be able.
Yeah, it would help so.
I can participate virtually, just not officially.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true.
Watch it live and I can participate, but.
Right.
Not in official capacity, so I can.
We'll get our wonderful IT person to hook you up.
The whole world's hooked up now.
Yeah, I know. But I meant like up on the board rather than just on the camera. Okay, great. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate that. Are there any other matters that need to come before the finance committee? If not, could I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion to second. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. We're adjourned at 7:25. Thank you very much, everybody.